Good afternoon, good evening, whenever it might be that you're listening to this. This will be the last devotion until May. Marcia and I are going to be away on vacation for the month, so we'll see you and talk to you after that. I'm going to read to you today from the Gospel of John, and it's the start of the journey for Jesus. The Last Supper is what this is about, and it's about the betrayal, and it's about what had to be done. I'd ask you now to hear the words of our blessed Savior as they're given to us in the Gospel of John. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining close to his heart. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Jesus had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And when he had gone out, Jesus says, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God had been glorified in him, God would also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. So this is a story that we all know so well, and we wonder, well, why did Judas do this? What was the cause behind all of this? Why would you deny Jesus for some money? Well, it's all part of the plan. It's all part of God's plan. This was all planned out before Jesus even came here. Not necessarily that it would be Judas, because Judas wasn't around way back when, but it was going to be somebody at that table, and God had chosen Judas to be the betrayer. Because we hear that Satan didn't really enter him until after he had decided to betray. Why did he do that? Why would he want to betray Jesus? Judas Iscariot, if you recall, was one of the ones in the Jewish nation who wanted to go to war with Rome and turn the country back to the Jewish nation to get it all back to where it belonged. And he was a zealot. He was collecting money to buy weapons for the people, and they were all looking forward to booting the Romans out of Jerusalem and out of Israel, and it was going to be such a great and wonderful day. And he could not be moved from his position. And he would do anything to bring the Roman Empire to its end in Israel. So it didn't matter that he saw all that Jesus was doing, proof that he was the Messiah, proof that he was the one that could save his soul, proof to the one who could get him into heaven. He was only focused on his goal of getting the Romans out of Israel, and nothing else mattered, and he thought Jesus was a route to accomplish that. And he was the keeper of the purse. Now, we don't see or know if he was utilizing that purse for two purposes, one to take care of the group and the other to buy more weapons. But he was getting frustrated with Jesus. If you recall, he asked Jesus when he was going to take over the kingdom. And he didn't know. He didn't know that Jesus wasn't going to take over the kingdom, that Jesus was the kingdom. And Jesus basically told him, "I'm not going to do that. That's not my task." And so Judas was now confused and upset. all of his dreams and ambitions. With the following that Jesus had, he knew that a revolt would be very easy to start, and the Romans would probably not stand a chance. But now Jesus says, no, that's not my mission here on earth. My mission is to spread the love of God, to show them what it means to be a son or daughter of God. And now comes the time, and Jesus knows. Jesus knows who the one that's going to betray him is. He knows all of that stuff. And so when he's asked about this betrayal thing, he tells John that when I dip this bread and give it to this person, that's the one that's going to betray me. And then he tells Judas to go out and do what he is called to do. Do quickly what you were going to do. Didn't try to stop him. Didn't try to change his mind. Didn't try to do anything. He was the chosen one to do this nasty task. And yet we hold him up and we use his name. Are you a Judas? Are you a betrayer of me? How can I trust you, you Judas? We accuse people of being Judas. Judas was the chosen one to give the message, to bring about the start of the journey to the crucifixion. That's because he was weak. Weak because he wanted something that wasn't going to happen. He wanted Jesus to do something that Jesus wasn't going to do. He wanted to set the people free. He wanted to see Israel back to the days of old when they were respected around the world, and he wanted the Roman conquerors out of his country. Not a terrible ambition nor a terrible, terrible thing to think about, but it was all powerful. Today we may not have the Romans occupying our country or occupying us, but we do have money, we do have health, we do have so many other things that challenge us, that encourage us to set them as a priority over Jesus, to set them as the goal to get to be a better Christian by taking advantage of others and by getting income and by destroying those people who aren't going to be followers. I don't ever recall where Jesus condemned somebody other than the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who he really didn't condemn, but he got tired of telling them how wrong they were. But he healed people. He healed people, and we really don't know if they ever converted, if they ever believed, but they were healed. And Jesus didn't ask them. He didn't go, you know, after they'd left for a couple of days, he didn't go and check and see if they were still believing in him, because he knew. He knew if you were believing or not believing. And isn't that our calling? To believe. To not be a Judas. Not to be so preoccupied with something else that it distracts us from our Christian mission. That we turn our back on Christ, we still respect him and love him and can hardly wait for him to bring about this wonderful change that's talked about. But it's not the change we need to be looking for. It's not the thing that we should set as our priority. It's not any of that. It's our mission to walk in the steps of Christ until such time as the resurrection day arrives. It's our duty to keep our focus on Jesus. Sure, we have to earn some money. We have to do some different things. But we must not set anything in a higher priority than Jesus. And that's really what we see here. Judas was chosen. If Judas had all of a sudden had a change of heart and didn't hold his setting the Israeli nation free over everything else, God would have found somebody else, would have installed somebody else. You know, as we read down here, we hear that after Jesus had given him the piece of bread and told him to go and do what he was supposed to do, that is when Satan entered into him. So we can blame Satan all we want, but he didn't enter in, according to Scripture, until after Jesus had told him that he's going to betray him. So what's more important to us that sets us aside from Jesus? We may be great followers, we may be doing wonderful things, but there's something that's stopping us from giving our all. What is it? And if it isn't anything, then we're with the rest of the disciples, doing what they did to bring about change, to bring about whatever it is. When we place Jesus at the top of our list of priorities, we've got him in the right place. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you for each new day of life and the blessings that come from it. We thank you for the gift of life and that given so generously. We pray, dear Lord, that we will continue to put Jesus at the top of our list of those possessing us, that all the other things in life become secondary to Jesus. Give us the strength to be good disciples. In all this we ask in Jesus' name, the same Jesus who when he prayed taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, here's a joke I've used a number of times before, but I love it. Here's dearest darling Jimmy, she writes, No words can ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. I miss you so. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. Please say you'll take me back. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery. Where are our priorities? Amen.